Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Sense right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back my co-host, Alistair Milroy from Breaking the Mold Accounting. How are you?
I'm very well, Rhea. How are you? Have you had a good Easter?
Yeah, well, my kids had a ton of chocolate, and that's all that matters.
We missed most of the chocolate. I think we had a bit out, actually. We did have a chocolate fountain on Sunday, but we didn't have any Easter egg hunts yesterday. The younger ones were away, so.
Well, we're beyond Easter egg hunts. They just want the chocolate in a big pile, and so that's what I do. I just gave them a chocolate in a big pile, and they happily went back to their teenagers. So they happily went back to their rooms and ignored me completely, which is par for the course.
Took lots of sugar in.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
As long as they're taking that sugar in their bedrooms and not expressing it outside of their bedrooms, I'm fine with that. So this week, we're going to be talking about risk management. Now, this is a massive topic that not a lot of people tend to talk about, to be honest, and they're not prepared. And when you take a look at the world events over the past 3 years, this is something that I think really needs to be addressed, no matter what size business you are, no matter what stage of business you're in. What is risk management?
Risk management at its heart, I think, is identifying things that could affect your business and then looking at what you've put in place or what you need to put in place to protect yourselves from those what-if scenarios happening. And that's putting, you know, having the right people around you, having the right processes, and being able to manage and really say, like, these are the risks. If this happened, how would we deal with it?
And what percentage would you say of businesses nowadays actually have a plan in place?
It probably depends on the size and type of business. A lot of on sort of businesses which are regulated, it tends to be something that's imposed upon them by regulation. So if you look at your corporate service providers that will be providing the ownership structures to you for yacht owners, they will have to do a business risk assessment and review that annually. I think probably in smaller businesses, it's a much lower proportion, and it's and probably this, you know, for startups, things even lower again. It's really, yeah, it's something that you have to put in place as you think about processes.
What does that cover? Does that cover equipment? Does that cover, you know, possible equipment failure? We obviously see things such as the pandemic, things that we can't even see or we can't even imagine happening. You know, a lot of businesses went out of business as a result of not being prepared.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think, you know, you look at things like your pricing, is the pricing, you know, when you think about what you're pricing for your products, does it take into account what if we have a pandemic, and you know, can you still reach your customers? Can you provide your, you know, how are you going to deliver your services or products? Can you afford or to still sell them at the price that you're selling them in that? Because you need to build into your margins enough buffer, I guess is the right word, into your pricing that allows you as a business to survive if these circumstances happen. And I think it also goes down to, you know, looking at your staffing and your team. What risks do you have if someone leaves? You know, do you have processes in place that allow anyone to fill in if someone is ill for a day or a week or 4 weeks? Do you have key dependencies on staff that you need to manage, or maybe use training approach to mitigate that? I mean, people can take over from them and have a succession plan in place. On your products, side as well, and finances, you need to have a good grip on your financial information and be able to mirror those, you know, that data and do some forecasting around what would happen if, you know, prices dropped by 10% or costs went up by 20%, or, you know, whether look at energy costs at the moment is a good example. And it's slightly different, I guess, for in yachting, for the actual yachts themselves, and in that their funding often, you know, is coming from an owner, but you've still got to look at that as what would happen, you know, what would happen if the owner's business fortunes change? How can you mitigate that? What sort of things have you got in place?
Sorry about that. I've got a phone call coming through. Is part of this risk management making sure that you have a bank account set aside, a certain amount of money tucked aside every single month in order to make sure that you're covered in case?
Yeah, every business should have enough cash set aside. You know, you need to look at what your fixed overheads are for probably 3 to 6 months and have that cash set aside as a war chest, if you like, for if something goes wrong, and that can keep your bills paid. So yeah, that would be something I'd definitely be looking at any, you know, in terms of building a plan for your risk. Yeah, having that cash buffer. Equally, if you've got too much cash sitting around, that's not good for your business either. So you know, you need to look at how you, you know, is there things you need to invest in? Can you use that cash to look at acquiring other businesses? Do you release it to the shareholders and the owners and make better use of it elsewhere in you know, for a private business? In, you know, should they use it for their pensions or other investments in their own name? But yeah, because sitting around with too much cash is not going to be good for the business performance and use of capital either.
Well, then in terms of buffer, let's say in months, how many months would you say you should have enough operating capital set aside?
I'd say most businesses would look at 3 months to 6 months. A lot, 90 days, I think, would be normal. It probably depends on, you need to look at the type of business and also look at your sort of cost structure and you know, what capital you're likely to have. It might be that might make it more, but I'd say generally, 90 to 180 days would be a good starting point to have as a cash buffer.
Now, when it comes to larger companies, I mean, I would imagine, of course, that's going to increase the amount of money that they would have to have tucked away. These yacht management companies out there, they obviously, possibly, maybe not obviously, and we won't mention any names, but should they not have been prepared to be able to pay crew if, you know, sanctions happened for at least a few months?
Yeah, it's quite an interesting question because, you know, if you're employing crew, you're also taking, you should be taking responsibility for all those employment risks. And that includes their annual leave, et cetera. And very few crew employment companies have been able to ask owners for any sort of buffer for crew leave accruals. So they're actually left with quite a big unfunded liability potentially if something like we've seen with the Ukraine situation happens. We might see a move to them shifting, but actually saying, look, for larger vessels, we need to have a certain amount of funding, 6 months, 12 months of salaries, at least guarantee or in a secure account that allows you to keep funding those payments. So I think owners have probably resisted that in the past. But if you're employing crew, you need to think you are responsible for the employment of those crew. And that's separate than whether you can obtain funding from your ultimate owner. You have a contract with the crew member to pay them. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out at the end of this, because I think certainly it's something the unions will be quite, and Nautilus, et cetera, will be quite keen to look at.
Well, I guess it's kind of like buying a house or renting an apartment or anything like that. You know, you set aside money and, you know, escrow, for example, until the sale is final, but there is money tucked away for a specific reason. And it's there, especially when you rent, you know, at the end of your lease, you get your money back or not. In Spain, usually not. but the money is sat there in the chance that there's damages or in the chance that there is, you know, something that money is needed to cover. I guess you kind of assume that would be the same in employing crew or because yacht management is literally taking care of the entire yacht, not just the crew, isn't it?
There's different parts of yacht management which can be broken. So you could have potentially a different technical manager and or an ISM safety manager than you have for your financial management. And some owners prefer to have that split rather than have everything in one house. But yes, I think when you come to the crew, having that funding in place and knowing that you can pay them for at least their notice period or perhaps 6 months, maybe that's something we'll see happen more. Coming down to risks, I think equally, in yachting particularly, a big risk for managers would be concentration of clients, particularly if you pick up one larger yacht, then your revenue might be very dependent on that. And that can be a big risk for a business if that, A, that client leaves, or that client's demands might become much more important to meet, and maybe to the detriment of the business, just because of the size of the revenue coming at compared to everywhere else. So I would look at your revenue and your customer concentration. And if you do have a concentration risk, then you need to look at ways of growing that out, or building, trying to maybe diverse way away from that client and bring in some smaller clients that mean it you're not solely reliant on that.
So if somebody is looking, no matter the size of the business or what type of business they're in, if they're looking to do a risk management sort of overview of their company, who do they contact?
I think contacting an accountant is a very good start. I think if you've got a corporate service provider, some of those will be, have accountants in place who can assist. There's the risk of actually managing a yacht asset as well. And for a yacht manager, that's how are they covering that? And as a yacht owner, I'd want to know from my manager, how are you assessing the risk, what's being put in place, and how are we monitoring the performance and maintenance of that yacht? But in accountants generally in businesses and CFOs will be very involved with looking at risks and then putting in place the financial management and ensuring processes are part of accountants' training is looking at processes and putting those in place to sort of manage risks. It's pretty fundamental to what you do when you're training as an accountant, the experience you have. I'd say just to finish off on that, what's really important is, it's very difficult to monitor or to actually measure these things if you don't have good data in the first place. So having good financial systems with good management information so you can actually see what your margins are, what your costs are, be able to forecast out at least 12 months in advance in terms of what your revenue are. If you've got that as a basis, then you can look at what would a 50% increase in energy prices do to our business. What would happen if we had a pandemic? If you've got a good system of up-to-date financials in place, then it makes it much easier to start looking at what-if scenarios around that.
Yeah, I'd be really interested to find out the stats of companies that go on to be successful with an accountant by their side from the beginning, and those that actually fail as a result of not having an accountant by their side from the beginning, because there's a lot of things you have to think about when you start a business. And I think most business owners, they have a passion for whatever it is that they're doing, but they don't necessarily have a true understanding of the financial aspects of it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think also for an accountant, it's very important to actually understand what that vision is, what the client wants to achieve, and put it in those human terms, just rather than just looking at the business as separate from what the owner is. I think also in terms of holding an owner accountable for how he's growing his business and challenging that is going to be much more powerful if you can connect that back to the human. Is it as simple as he wants his wife to be able to give up work and look after their children, or a wife to equally do the same, have a husband spend more time at home with the children? Is it so they can have freedom to move, to travel and not be in one place? It's that understanding what's important to the owner of the business. And then you can, I think, put much more meaningful measures and goals in place and look at the risks.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting because, you know, I don't think a lot of people go into business thinking about the risk management. You know, that's probably the last thing that they ever think about. And it's good to know that, you know, just through a simple process of hiring an accountant, there's a lot of things that can be looked after, and will take a lot of risk out of not only long-term business, but even just dealing with taxes. And perhaps, as we discussed in previous shows, the fact that you might actually be able to take better advantage of tax laws through an accountant than if you try to do it all yourself.
I think one of the big risks that, and one of the things that often can hurt businesses around cash flow in the first few months is business owners not taking into account tax liabilities, particularly VAT. And, you know, so they think, well, look, I'm trading well and my sales are good, but actually, if you're not generating the cash flow either because you're not being paid quickly, or your margins aren't good enough, then you get a shock when 3 months down the tree you've got to put your VAT, your income tax in, and you've got a bill. Having a good idea of what you're spending and how you can, you know, mitigate that, that might be by, you know, making an investment or in equipment or something in this year that you might have capital allowances with, which helps you reduce your tax bill. Again, having up-to-date financial information puts you in a much better place to measure that rather than doing it from purely intuition or purely what you think.
Well, I have to be honest, the first business that I ever owned, I didn't keep track of my taxes that I had to pay the government at the beginning. Because I didn't think about it. And then when tax time came, that little bit that you see on every single bill, it wasn't a lot, but that adds up over a year. And all of a sudden, I was hit with a massive tax bill because I had to pay the taxes that I collected. Of course, you're collecting that for the government, but, you know, it seems so little on each individual bill. But by the time it came to the end of the year, it amounted to quite a bit, and I didn't have it.
Yeah, you know, separating that into a separate account, or at least, you know, making it clear that that's not working capital that you can use is really important. That sees a lot of businesses, you know, get into financial trouble. I think UK and US, you know, 80% of businesses fail in the first 5 years, and I think a lot of those figures could be improved by education and, you know, having the right advice early on. It's difficult because it's, you know, as a startup, you know, often funds are tight. So paying someone as a professional can seem like a big hit, but it could also save you a lot in the long term. And, you know, I think in 10 years, it's something like, you know, 1 or 2% of businesses survive for the first 10 years. And that's often down to planning and really, you know, understanding your pricing, understanding how you set your margins, you know, discounting. If you actually, you know, look at the impact of discounting on 10% on your price, but actually what that does to your profit can be much more, you know, heavy. So it's, you know, it's very tempting to discount and say, look, we've got all these sales coming in, but if it's not covering, then, you know, if you're in a loss-making position, then it's probably worse having those sales than if you had less sales, but they were profitable.
Well, and I have to say, I took business administration in college. So, you know, we do learn a bit of the accounting side of things. And you know, even with that education, I still made that mistake in my first year of business. I was, I think, 24, 25. I mean, it was my first business. But still, even after having that education, I still made a rookie mistake. So I can imagine those that have never had that education. It definitely is difficult.
Yeah, and understanding what you can claim and what you can't claim in terms of taxes is important. I think a lot of people assume they can claim expenses and they're not actually claimable. That can also be, you know, particularly if you're filing your own tax returns, that could end up with a liability the other way. But in terms of going back to risk management, it's really understanding all that. You know, taking the time out from your business to say, what could happen? Where are we? Do we have enough, you know, support for for furlough, or for things like the pandemic, or increases in price. I mean, for businesses at the moment, we're looking at, I know the UK figures came out, and I think the US is similar at 7 or 8% inflation. That's likely to be the case in the next 9 to 12 months. Having a look at, what's that, how is that going to impact your business, and modeling where those, and that, I think that 7 or 8% was before energy costs were factored in. So it's likely to become higher than that. Look at your interest, your funding costs. If you've got loans in place, can you continue to service them, whether it's for photocopiers, cars, or other assets, as or bank loans. But really, understanding what you need to do to, if and what you need to change in your business, and being able to price that in now on your sales side is definitely important, rather than leaving it till it's too late.
Well, Alistair, we'll make sure to include all of this information, or all of your information, sorry, below this interview. Please do feel free to contact Alistair if you have any questions, or if you are in need of an accountant who can actually help you weave your way through the joys of business when it's first coming up, and even, sort of in the middle cycle. I would definitely recommend having somebody that can help you, you deal with governments, and especially in yachting, with so many, you're dealing with so many different countries. It's not just you're setting up a shop in one country and dealing with customers off the street. You are dealing with a lot of different aspects and different countries and different laws and different taxes. So it is well worth having an accountant.
Definitely. And I'd come back to having that information in place, having the right financial information up to date, is really critical, I think, to the success of any business.
Thank you, Alistair.
I'd love to hear from any listeners out there. So I look forward to getting your emails.
For sure. Well, thank you ever so much. Of course, every week your advice is invaluable. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rhea. And talk to you again next week.
You've been watching another edition of Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy from Breaking the Mold Accounting. My name is Rhea. I have been your co-host. We'll see you again next week.